Yes.
Appreciate that. It, I've really enjoyed Timothy a lot because I remember when I first immersed myself in Timothy, which is over, it's about 45 years ago, and I really went after it to study it. And I got to the end of that year as I was interacting with it, and I thought, I've got this figured out. This makes sense to me. I can pull this into my life. I want to be a Timothy. And I think about the years of becoming more like a Paul in the context of age and relationships and whatever. But as I was going through Timothy this time, I was thinking, you know, I thought I had it figured out. I'm not so sure that there's not a lot of things that I don't have yet to figure out, you know, about this whole dynamic. And so as I've looked at that together, or to get with myself and together with you, and as we look at it over this next 3 to 4 weeks, and look at both books of Timothy, what Dennis shared is really helpful, because you have to immerse yourself in the relationship, but then you have to make that translation over into your own relationship. And that's what I found myself doing. And that was really good for me. And as always, because we are looking at woven threads, and because we're not just reading a book that is a flat book where, I read that, we are actually looking at a book that is filled with life. So that means it vibrates with life. You know, that's what we are. We're living stones, so we're vibrating with life. Well, the same thing is true of the Scriptures. The Scriptures vibrate with life. And when we connect with the Scriptures, the life of God vibrates, you know, within us, in and around us. So anyway, I've been going through that process, and these are some of the posts that have been, you see, follow my stream of consciousness. I think the issue of wrestling with COVID hasn't gone away yet for me. In fact, I do more reading, I do more weighing, I do more considering, I do more trying to be who God wants me to be in the midst of it. The things I'm praying for now are really different than the things that I was praying for in March when this whole thing started. So hang in there with that conversation and make sure you're going back to the words of life, which is what that COVID post is about. You know, what are the words of life about that? Second of all, the idea of encouragement. And again, I don't feel like I've been held back at all in the opportunities for me to encourage people. So that's a good thing to keep right in front of your mind. Like, okay, yeah, we have limitations, but the Word of God isn't in prison, so I still have an opportunity to be an encourager in what is the truth. And then there's a post on my true son, and this is obviously a grandma and a granddaughter, because, you know, I am not a sexist, so I don't care whether it's guys or whether it's girls. I just put them in there. Just it's a good picture of that whole idea of being related to each other. And that's where you can dive into 1st and 2nd Timothy. The curriculum that I wrote in 1990, I pulled that out, and I make corrections to it, because I speak a much better English than I did back then. And so I go through and I do that, but I answer the questions and I go, you know, these are good questions for me to ask. So that's the kind of teacher I am. I'm not the kind of teacher where I go, in Philippians 4, what are the five things it tells us about the fruit of the Spirit? That never motivated me. It's about asking questions that draw you into the vibration of life. So that's what those questions are for. Also, I've gotten caught up in the book of Micah, and I think Micah has a lot to say about our nation. Now, he was talking about Judah, the southern kingdom, but in that conversation, there are passages in there that I think you can find real help. Not only do justice, love, kindness, walk humbly with your God, but there are some cool things in there about God's faithfulness, not the least of which is that he delights in his unchanging love, which I need to be reminded of. So that's been kind of thrown into the mix by the Holy Spirit for me right now. And then I got wrapped up into thinking about the teaching of demons, which it kind of freaked me out a little bit as I went through 1st and 2nd Timothy this time, because it's not just that one statement he makes. It's woven all the way through both books. Okay. And I got to thinking about that, so I thought, well, I don't want to scare any kids. So I looked at all the pictures of demons on the internet, and I thought, this one looked, you know, approachable. you know, if you were going to not scare any kids. So hopefully none of the foster kids back there are scared at all with this picture of what a demon is. So I think I'm okay. Okay. Anyway, so it's a woven conversation for me as I go into Timothy. And when you look at how the book fits together, he's explaining sound words, and I want to just go through a list of four or five things here before we take off today that relate to this. So if I was going to study this book, which I am, which I did, the first thing I do is I look at the theme, 3:15, how we should conduct ourselves in the household of God. That question is the same now as it was back in March. It just looks a little bit different than it did. Sound teaching. Where does sound teaching fit in? How does that move over into orderly living? I mean, we're asking a lot of questions about that right now, and they were asking questions about that then. So that's important to think about the principles that relate to orderly living. And third of all, what does it mean to live godly in the midst of some pretty difficult situations? Dennis alluded to this. Timothy was in a pressure. He was in a pressure cooker. And he was apparently kind of alone in that pressure cooker. And I don't know if you ever feel that way, but I feel that way sometimes, although I really appreciate my community. So anyway, that's the big picture. And then I went and looked at those passages, and that gives you an overview. So if you looked at my Bible, you would see yellow highlighting on these passages because I found them. I thought, oh, this is the core of this section. So that's kind of how I study. So I invite you to be a part of that. Now, related to Timothy and going deeper in Timothy, I'd like you to turn over to 1 Timothy. And there are just a couple things that I want to note. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. Verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. And then look over in chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter. Okay, so that's the way that they come, a spirit or a message or a letter, as if to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless. And he explains. He goes back to what the scriptures teach. So he's encouraging Timothy to stick with what's true, because there are all of these people who are circulating garbage to try to draw people into a false narrative or a false teaching. And that carries on to verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to skip that because we're going to run out of time here. Go over to chapter 6, verse 20 of 2 Timothy. Excuse me, 1 Timothy. No, there's not six chapters, so I'll have to go to that again. I got so wrapped up in going back and forth between both books because they started becoming one book to me. Chapter 6, verse 20. Oh, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter. Okay? Worldly and empty chatter. And opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. Now think about that in the world that you and I are living in right now. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. Because what does this do? Some have professed this and have thus gone astray. Now, as best as I could come up with in the picture, it's like the Bible is like the story. And there's nothing missing from it, and it's totally alive. There are all of these cheap novellas that are being written that are knockoffs about life that are not based on truth. And consequently, people go, well, that's a way easier thing. Plus, it fits how I feel. And that's where we're at in our culture right now. So, entanglements and competing and hard workers, the whole idea is that we're supposed to look at these entanglements, which we'll talk about here in the next few weeks, and avoid the entanglements, and we're supposed to compete according to the rules, and we're also supposed to be hard workers. That hasn't changed because of COVID. All three of those things are a part of that. Now, I'd like you to turn over to 2 Timothy, just to kind of tie this together a little bit. Verse 2:14. Remind them of these things. Solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. So what you're going to find is there are passages that are warning Timothy to not get sucked into what's happening in Ephesus. You are living in Ephesus. You're not living in Jerusalem. You and I live in an Ephesian environment. And that made me think about deception, which made me think about snakes. I hate snakes almost worse than anything. And it's because when you run into a snake, which I have on many occasions in my outdoor life, you can't tell which direction they're going to go. They're very unpredictable. And I find myself going, okay, that's my first response to a snake. And so that made me think about the snakes of deception. And I want to make this list for you so that you can meditate with me and make your own list, because this isn't exhaustive. This is just me, part of me being an American and watching what has happened in my lifetime and passing it on to you. These are the snakes of deception. These are the novellas that are being handed out, the little novels that are giving a premise that has nothing behind it except for a wrangling about words, because there's somebody who thinks this is the principle. We are gods. Think about all of the writing. Think about all of the influence of that, even in the last 25 years. Social justice. Social justice is a perversion of God's justice. Hopefully nobody's listening right now, because I might get rioted against or something. But the reality is, if you investigate what we're looking at with social justice, it's not God's justice. And it's not like I don't believe in true justice. I do. And I believe it for African Americans. I believe it for Asians around the world, people on the African continent. I think there should be justice for everybody. I don't think people are going to bring it. At least the way they're doing it right now doesn't look so hot in my mind. So I think that's one of the snakes of deception. The third one, abortion. Think about in my lifetime how we've been in this abortion back and forth about Roe v. Wade and Roe v. Wade. And here we are in the middle of a world, not just, I think America probably would have been dealt a much severer blow maybe than we have been, but I'm not so sure that we're ahead on killing babies. Maybe in sheer numbers, but when you look at some of the other countries in the world, and think about the snake that's there with the idea that there are people who are actually confused. I heard a statement yesterday about, I'm spending more time on Twitter now because I can't trust news outlets, so Bernie sifts through it with me, and we go on through it and said, just think that the first soul on the earth that responded to Jesus being announced as being born was a fetus. I never thought about that before. Remember when inside of Elizabeth, the baby leapt when the greeting came from, Mary? So that's another one right there. Sexual impurity, that's why it's off the charts. There are no absolutes when it comes to purity anymore. So we dance around, and while we dance around it, look what's happening to our culture, Look at how people are being sucked in. Look at how our children and our children's children are being sucked in. Mocking and denying absolutes. No black and white, only gray. Role perversions related to gender. Think about how prominent that's become and how simple it is in the scriptures, how clear it is in the scriptures. And what do you think the chances are that I'm going to make it through the next 10 or 15 years, depending upon what happens, without potentially being whatever with regard to my thoughts on what the scriptures teach about some of these issues? Maybe if I keep my mouth shut, it'll all go well with me, right? Maybe it'll all go well with you. How long do you think it is? Maybe I shouldn't say this. But how long do you think it is before people are going to be standing at the Fox Creek door and wanting to know what I teach and what we teach about homosexuality and about gender issues? How long do you think it's going to be? Well, we'll see. A lot of that depends on God's grace, right? This is really a downer, isn't it, this whole thing? All roads lead to the same place, like we're all going to get there. There's all these different choices. And finally, one of the things that pops out to me is that there is no God, which is really kind of the anthem of the atheistic, agnostic world that has grown at such a breakneck pace in the last century or century and a half. So, think about those things as you read Timothy, not my list. That's my list. Obviously, you can tell that I have passion on those, and we may share passion on some of those. What about your list? Where do you see the snakes in our culture? Not the least of which, it appears like they're in politics right now, beyond anything I've ever seen in my life. Where are the snakes? Identify them. Why? So we can have a crusade against them? No, so that we can go to the living God and beg for his mercy upon us and upon our neighbors. That went a little different direction than I thought I was going to go. There you go. I won't do that the second time because there's somebody gets here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for these guys and your willingness to devote and openness to the truth. I pray that you would bless us as this day unfolds. Give us grace as we care for one another in love. And as we care for our neighbors who do not know you. In Jesus' name. 7 minutes over, so I don't know what's